In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes, "The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." I suppose it would be true to say, I'm sure it would be true to say, that the cross has different meanings to different people. And in fact, I'm sure it would be accurate to say that it has always been the case. For example, to people living in Jerusalem in AD 33, the cross was just a particularly cruel form of execution. Though popular in that day, it was usually reserved for some of the worst criminals. It was, to be sure, a very shameful way to die, a very public way, a very degrading way to die on the cross, to be crucified. It was a very shameful way to die. And thus we find that statement written by the Hebrew writer in chapter 12, verse 2 of Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But to those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the shame of the cross has been overcome with the glory of what the cross accomplished, as we noted this morning. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, obviously, there is a lot about that cross and in that cross that you can only see with the eye of faith. Those are the things that the unbelieving world does not see about the cross or in the cross. What do you see in the cross? We've sung a great number of songs, in fact, this morning and tonight, that remind us of the cross, the death of Christ, the sacrifice that He made. What does the cross mean to you? What comes to your mind when you see the cross? Do you see the cross as just simply a religious symbol to be worn as an ornament or to be placed somewhere in a prominent place as an article of decoration in some maybe religious way and yet in a way that I'm afraid all too often becomes rather common? Do you see the cross as a form of torture or execution? Does the cross remind you of the hopelessness of life and the certainty of death? Or do you see in the cross hope? Hope for eternity. Let's observe four things that I believe every believer should see there in the cross. When I look at the cross, I should see the love of God. When man and woman sinned in the Garden of Eden, God drove them out from His presence. Some today would say that that was a rather stern reaction to their sin. Yet it was not the end of the relationship between mankind and God, for it was there on that occasion in Genesis chapter 3 that God announced His intention to overcome Satan's influence and to save man from sin. From that time on, as we read and study the pages of the Bible, we see the unfolding story of God's scheme of redemption. As we talked about this past Wednesday night, The Apostle Paul refers to it as God's eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. And those pages in the Old Testament tell of the unfolding of those events that God used to prepare the world for the coming and for the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, a verse that we read this morning in our study, Paul refers to the occasion as the fullness of time when God sent forth His Son. We understand those words, the fullness of time, to mean that when everything was exactly right, when God was perfectly ready, and when the events that had taken place had prepared everything to the extent that the time was right. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. John's inspired pen records this statement, which encompasses God's loving grace as well as man's desperate need, when he said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Can you imagine a better way for God to show how much He loves us? A better way for God to show how much He wants us to be saved than the cross? God, Peter says, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul says God would have all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. It is God's will that we become aware of His plan, revealed to us through His Word, and that we accept His plan and obey His will in order to have salvation. When you look at the cross, you see the greatest reminder that has ever been of God's love. We will never understand why, at least here on this earth, we will never understand why God loves us so much. But we can, by faith, believe that He surely does. For the cross proclaims, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." When you look at the cross, you see the love of God. Number two, when I look at the cross, I should see the darkness of sin. Now, a lot of folks have the idea that because everybody sins, then one more little sin won't hurt anything. And you know, this is just a little sin. And everybody does it. And after all, it's no big deal. You know what we really need? We need to be able to see sin like God sees sin. According to what John writes in Revelation 3, verse 4, God sees sin as filth. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it appears that God considers sin to be worldly dirt. And in Luke chapter 15, the only impression that I can come away with so far as what Jesus regarded sin as being was a muddy hog pen. Then Peter gives this graphic description of the child of God who turns again into sin In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, what the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow, after having been washed, returns to wallow in the mire. When we begin to see sin like that, when we begin to understand sin in that kind of terminology, then we can really begin to appreciate the cross which frees us from the guilt and the practice of sin. God hates sin. He created man in His own image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He loved him, and He provided for him. And then along came the devil and led man into sin. And sin separated man from God, as the prophet recorded in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. But even when we look at those facts and we understand all of that, how that God loving man so much and providing for man's every need, then watched as the devil came and led that precious woman and man astray into sin. Even those facts don't illustrate to us the depth of God's despite, His hatred for sin. The cross. The cross helps us to understand more than anything else the darkness of sin. Because nailed to that cross, in agony that you and I will never be able to understand or imagine, Jesus cried out to His Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? In order to save us from sin, God left His only begotten Son to die that horrible death to free us from sin. That's how much God hates sin. And so should we. The cross shows us the darkness of sin. When we look at the cross, we should see the torment of hell. One of the basic teachings of Scripture is the fact that all people will appear before the Lord in judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14 says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Hebrews 9, verse 27 assures us that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Over and over and over, God declares that. He tells us that the righteous and the wicked will be assembled to be judged, and the judge will separate the righteous from the wicked as the sheep are separated from the goats, and the wicked will be sent into eternal punishment. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And still, many people reject the idea. Many people say, it's not going to happen. They say things like, how can a loving God, so merciful and kind, condemn anybody to a fiery hell, as though God were responsible for our sins? I want you to pay attention to the wording that the Spirit inspired Paul to use in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Where he said, for he that spared not his own Son, how shall he not with him freely also give us all things? That first part of that verse I want us to focus on. He that spared not his own son. I have a son. Many of you have sons. Cannot imagine circumstances in which I would not, if it were within my ability, spare my own son. God was willing to pay such a price to save us. Does that not reveal to us how terrible are the consequences from which He wants us to be saved? He spared not His own Son. Why? Because the alternative is for us to spend eternity in the torment of hell. Scripture paints a horrible picture of the torments of hell. That is exactly why God was willing to send His Son. That is exactly why Jesus was willing to go to the cross to save us from it. And so when I look at that cross, I am reminded of the torment of hell. Number four. In the cross, we can see something of the glory of heaven. You see, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, the Lord told His disciples, and John recorded the words in chapter 14 of the gospel bearing His name, the account bearing His name, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Brother Northern talked about these verses this morning. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine a place where there is no sickness? A place where there's no pain? Where there's no sorrow? Can you imagine a place where sin can never enter? Where there will never be any separations? Even in a group of people the size of this congregation, there are several among our number who are suffering great difficulty, some physical difficulties, some financial difficulties, some battling with the horrible disease of cancer in some form or another. It seems the list these days is endless of the difficulties that come our way. You know, sometimes I suppose we're tempted to wonder if all of the difficulties and problems in this life are really worth putting up with. Here's what Paul said to that in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In another place, Paul says, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work for us a far more eternal, exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are unseen are eternal. Sometimes we sing that song. Often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. And then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Regardless of what happens with us in this life, if we reach heaven, when we reach heaven, it will be worth it. Our salvation did not come cheap. Just look at that old cross. And look at the price that Jesus was willing to pay. And in that great price that was paid, get just a little glimpse of the glory of heaven. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.